You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to episode 82 of the Bomber Brothers podcast, part of Pinstripe Alley. We're back, Sean and Ryan, talking about the latest Yankee developments on the hot stove, which right now I don't even think anyone's hit the preheat button. Well, I guess that would be an oven, but no one's turned on the stove. It's been pretty slow, as expected, but honestly, this is going even slower than what I would have initially thought, Sean, especially on the DJ LeMahieu front. I mean, Brian Cashman was interviewed on Yankees Hot Stove last night, and it was kind of depressing, to be honest. He was just like, oh, it's just like a wait and see. Both sides are talking, but that just doesn't sound like, wouldn't you be a little more aggressive in pursuing someone who's been an MVP candidate for you for the past two seasons?
I'd be very aggressive with someone who's been an MVP candidate. And I think what's more depressing is that it seems like this is going to be it. They're going to try to get him. And that's probably all she wrote, except for the great news that Nestor Cortes Jr. has returned. But
yes,
it seems like LeMahieu's the only fish. Like Michael on the Michael Kay show, Michael Kay indicated that like pretty much it's going to be LeMahieu and then they're done. So Yankees very rarely have a guy circled that they want and don't get him. So I think the Yankees will get it done. But what worries me is that's all they're going to do. But I think that the Yankees are just waiting to see the market play out. And then they'll give LeMahieu his offer. Cause I think they're very cognizant to not overpay LeMahieu. And we'll go from there.
Yeah. Which is that I know, like, I repeat this a lot on here, but that's the part that bothers me, because you literally are the Yankees. Being the richest team in the league is an actual advantage in a league where there's no salary cap. So you have the advantage and the capability of slightly overpaying someone to the point where it really doesn't matter for you in the scheme of things because of the rest of your income and revenue and financial worth, and you'd be able to lock up players sooner than other teams because you have that ability, and then can start filling other areas of need instead of doing this sitting around waiting stuff, which is obviously grueling for fans, but also not very efficient for a team that's supposed to be trying to capitalize on a championship window. So now we're just sitting here like wondering, are we going to bring back this bona fide MVP candidate? I mean, it should be a no-brainer. Let's lock him up and get this done. But it's just not.
Yeah, I think what worries me is it seems like what the Yankees' approach is going to be is, well, all right, this kind of current window seems to be closing, so we're going to lock up maybe like Judge and Hicks and Severino and Cole, and then we'll see what the next group of prospects brings in. But it shouldn't. That shouldn't be the strategy. It should be we still are. You know, we're close to a championship team. We're not there, but if we invest, you know, financially in the team, we can be one of those teams like the Dodgers or, you know, that's considered a favorite. And, you know, we've talked about it so many times. The Yankees are content with being on the precipice because baseball is, you know, very unpredictable. So they could fall into a championship, but that's not the Yankees, especially when they have that kind of money. Like teams like the Rays, teams like the Indians, they could fall into a championship. But the Yankees should be the ones that are predicted to win year after year with the payroll that they command.
Yeah, and you hurt those chances of falling into a championship so much when you are completely depleted on the pitching front because you're stretching guys thin as a playoff run goes on and your chances decrease more and more with each passing series. I mean, I feel like we saw that in the 2019 ALCS down the stretch where, you know, the Yankees got caught in a bullpen day in game six and didn't work out for them. And even if they had gotten to game seven, it would have been a banged up beleaguered Severino going in a winner take all who hadn't pitched that much at all that year. And then
it would have been Severino with a torn UCL pitch.
Yeah. Pitching against Garrett Cole. And then this year, you know, we had the game two debacle, which, you know, you can argue that however you like, but that was also the product of just not having a lot of pitching options. So with all that being said, you know, we have Cashman last night kind of dodging questions to the rumor of that the Yankees feel like if they get LeMahieu, they're not going to be able to afford bringing back someone like Tanaka to help the rotation, which, to be honest, I find even more worrisome than this LeMahieu news progressing so slowly, because the Yankees currently have Garrett Cole and then who for a five-man rotation, which has been the Achilles heel of a playoff run for the past 3 years. That's scary. You have Garrett Cole and then just a bunch of unprovens, unknowns. Obviously, Devi was you know, encouraging in his rookie season. So you hope he continues to evolve, but you don't know. Clark Schmidt has made what, two major league starts. Montgomery was nice, and then he was huge actually in game four of the playoffs. But you also don't know what he's going to be. Domingo Herman didn't pitch all last year. He hasn't seen a major league mound since September of 2019. So who the hell are they going to put in the rotation?
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees need to go out. I think Yankees need to go get two starters.
Oh, absolutely.
They need to get one. I think they should bring Tanaka back. He's a proven commodity. He's not that old. I think he likes to be here. So I'd get Tanaka back and then get one other arm. And I'd love it to be Bauer. It doesn't have to be, but it should be. And then, you know, then you have two spots for everybody else to play for. And, you know, Garcia's not, you know, we saw this with Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes looked great his first season, and then after that, he had a down year, and that could happen for Garcia as well. So don't think just because they had a good start, I'm not talking about you, I'm just fans in general, that next year's a given. And, you know, I'd rather have competition for the last couple spots than rather, okay, these are our five, let's hope it works out. Like, I'd rather have, you know, I'd always rather go with a lot of depth. I'd rather go into spring training with eight starting pitchers. And you know the three of them are going to be going down to Scranton to start the year because you need that kind of depth to get through 162 games, which it looks like hopefully we're going to be playing this year.
Yeah, exactly. When we're talking about all these unknowns, that's fine to have when you're trying to fill out a fourth and fifth spot of the rotation. And like you said, get a competition between Herman and Devi and Clark Schmidt and all these younger guys to see, you know, who's going to take up those last one or two spots. But for a pitching rotation for a supposedly championship contending club, you should have at least your one through three locked up for a starting rotation. I mean, even if it's a 2009 situation where you don't have much past your top three starters, but you have, you know, a bona fide offense, which the Yankees have, then yeah, that's fine. But the Yankees only have a bona fide one right now.
Go ahead. I was going to say, think about 2009, though. The Yankees actually had a bona fide rotation going into the season, a top four, because Chin-Ming Wong, up until that point of his career, was excellent, a Cy Young contender just 2 years prior. And then he had the injury in 2008 and never was able to recover. But going into 2009, the Yankees rotation looked formidable, with Jabba as the number five guy and Phil Hughes in the wings and everything. But, you know, so that's how quickly it could change. Like, they went from an amazing top four to top three, and it things can change so quickly. So that's why depth is important. And as I think you were about to say, the Yankees only have Gerrit Cole, and that's the only known commodity.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I get it that, you know, you want to see what these guys can do, and if they don't, and if some of them don't perform, which some of them probably won't, it's highly unlikely that all these guys are going to pan out. Very, very unlikely. And I get if they don't, they'll be the trade deadline and stuff. But the Yankees have had a recent track record of not filling areas of need at the trade deadline already. So, you know, who's to say that the Yankees go into 2021 with a really thin rotation that doesn't pan out and they're getting knocked around and they're, you know, in the divisional race thanks to their offense and their bullpen, but they obviously need they need starting pitching to get over the hump and be championship favorites. And, you know, who's to say that July 31st comes and goes and we're back to, you know, watching Brian Cashman at a press conference talking about how, you know, we didn't like what the asking price was for some of these guys. And we feel like, you know, Severino coming back from his Tommy John is like getting a starter himself. Like, I can already see it all unfolding.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's. And the silly thing is, we know how this is going to play out. The Yankees aren't going to surprise us and be like, hey, we got all this money, let's spend it. They're just have all this money and they're not going to spend it. And it's frustrating. So, and you know, I think we're talking about the rotation. The bullpen needs help too now. I mean, the bullpen is, you know, is in slight disarray.
Yeah, it is. It's, I mean, with the loss of Tommy Canley hurts, the regression of Adam Ottavino hurts. You hope he can come back and be effective. But, I mean, outside of that, you've got Chapman, Green, Britton, which is obviously a really solid three, but it'd be nice to have another reliable arm or two out there in that bullpen.
I love Nestor Cortes, but he ain't it.
No, I love watching him pitch just for his, you know, wind-up variety, but yeah, he's not going to be getting in high leverage situation. Well, I hope not. Who knows? At this rate, maybe he will. But and again, the, you know, this complaint for the Yankees can be applied to pretty much every team in the league right now. In terms of not adding, you know, not adding pieces when they're available, because, you know, a lot of teams are crying poor, but the pieces are out there. The Yankees have the ability to vastly upgrade these areas of need. They can go out and get a Brad Hand on the cheap. They can go out and get Trevor Bauer. They can, you know, they could get these guys that'll significantly help their most glaring deficiencies on the roster. And just to watch, you know, to watch that not happen is it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be tough to get, you know. Obviously, I'll be excited for what we hope will be a you know, the first full season since 2019. But these kind of off seasons, just they make it tough to get excited, because, you know, you're like, okay, my favorite team, which is supposed to be a championship contender, doesn't seem to be aggressively chasing a championship despite not having won one in 11 years.
Yeah, it's very very frustrating. So, anyway, so, you know, I think obviously we both know the rotation and the bullpen are areas of need, but there are still tweaks, I think, to the lineup that can and need to be done.
Especially if Urshela doesn't come back right away.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it, and I was looking at the non-tenders, and I had a couple ideas, and I don't think it'll cost that much, in the words of George Costanza in getting Barry Bonds. So here's the guys the Yankees would acquire to have what I call the God Squad lineup. And it's only really 2.5 guys, because Gardner's in my list, so he doesn't really count, because, you know, he's just happy.
This already isn't seeming quite godlike, but continue.
Silence. He's my like fifth outfielder.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about starting lineup.
No, okay. No. So the only new addition to the starting lineup, in my opinion, is Lindor. I think we know Cleveland wants to trade him. It's not going to take a huge boatload to get him, because they're just trying to dump salary. So I think you go out and get Lindor. Even for 1 year, it's not going to cost you really that much.
Yeah, I hope
you should resign him.
I hope it wouldn't, because I love Lindor. Obviously, he's got so much value, but he hasn't been superstar level the past year and a half or so. Hopefully that changes. He's young, so
yeah.
But yeah, I love Lindor.
So anyway, I would trade for Lindor, and then this gives you an infield of LeMahieu. Oh, and then re-sign LeMahieu. That's part of my God squad. Sorry, forgot about that. So you have LeMahieu at third, Lindor at short, Torres at second, and Voit at first. And then you have Gio on the infield, who spots in, and you know, I mean, everybody's going to need a day off once a week. So you just have Gio as kind of like, you plug him in, and then DJ could go to second. If Lindor needs a day off, he moves Torres to short. Obviously, Voit needs a day off, you move DJ to first and put Gio at short. So you have a solid backup. So now you have a lineup that has LeMahieu, Judge, Lindor, Stanton, Torres, Hicks, Voit, Frazier, and Sanchez. That's death row right there.
Yeah.
And then on the bench, you have Gio as a backup, which he's still going to get ample playing time, like we've talked about. Like, your backup player is always, you know, your fifth infielder is always going to get a ton of at-bats, especially in this day and age. You have Higgy as your backup catcher. I think that's not a surprise there. Gardy as your fifth outfielder, but your fourth outfielder and your backup DH would be Kyle Schwarber, who you go and you get for cheap because he was non-tendered by the Cubs. I mean, in 2018 and 2019, he had OPS pluses of 117 and 122. So if this is your lefty bat off the bench that can spell an outfield, you know, he's not a great defensive outfielder, but if Stanton gets hurt, he can fill in at DH without a problem. So that's a backup for Stanton. And if Frazier needs a day off, you could just throw him out there. If you need more defense, you put Gardner out there. But now you have two amazing – hold on. You have one good lefty bat off the bench, one really good lefty bat off the bench. So now you have a little bit more balance to work with. You have two switch hitters in your lineup with Lindor and Hicks. I don't know. I feel like this would be like an optimum Yankee offense. And the only big move they're making, if we're assuming LeMahieu back is a given, is getting Lindor. So they're basically one big move away from just having what I think – for what's available is the best possible outcome. And I don't think they're going to do it, but I don't know. That was my idea. That's my sort of fantasy. I'm curious what you think about that. I think Schwarber, the best time to get a good player is off a down year. And I think Schwarber's coming off a very down year, obviously, in 2020. And after two really good years in 2018 and 2019. So just curious what you think.
No, I like it. You keep saying fantasy, but it's, maybe it's fantasy in terms of, you know, the Yankees' current mindset, but it's certainly not fantasy in terms of its, you know, doability. Because, like you said, I don't think the asking. I saw somebody tweet the other day, like, regardless of who trades for Lindor, you know, Cleveland fans are going to be, you know, their reaction is going to be, is that really all we got for Lindor? And I think that's going to be the situation. I don't think it's going to be an astronomical asking price, so I definitely think that lineup is doable. I would love seeing that lineup, especially after the Gio news. That would provide a ton of insurance for if, you know, Gio is slow to come back. And let's face it, given the recent trend of Yankee injuries, we can't count on Urshela coming back in 3 months like they say, because you just don't know if there's going to be setbacks or, you know, things like that. So
it's the Yankees, of course, they're old.
Yeah, so that would – yeah, I love that idea. I love the idea of limiting Glaber's time at shortstop. You know, Cashman said in his interview last night that he's capable at shortstop. That's not what you want to hear about your shortstop. So I think putting him at second base as much as possible would be great. And a middle infield of Lindor and, you know, Torres, like, my favorite player right now, and Lindor is one of my favorite non-Yankees. That middle infield would just be super fun for from a personal standpoint. And then Schwarber, like you said, he would not be expensive at all. I'm sure he could find some productivity at Yankee Stadium with that lefty bat. I like that idea of having him in a bench role.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than having Mike Ford.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a significant upgrade.
And I think what excites me about it, and I know I feel like I talk about this every week, is it just gives you the depth that they so missed last year that they had in 2019. Like, even though all these guys got hurt in 2019, they had, you know, I mean, like, Troy Tulowitzki was the opening day shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
LeMahieu didn't even start, and, you know, LeMahieu becomes the most important player on the team. So it's like they have that depth that they were so badly missing. And you know, I think that it's really important to have that in this day and age. And maybe if they're not able to upgrade one of the rotation or the bullpen, putting together a murderer's row type lineup would be a way to get around that.
Yeah, I like it. It's very doable.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
No, but certainly does not. But also, my fantasy, just coming off the top of my head right now, which I'd be totally fine with, is just to bring Didi back.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. And there's another way to do this. If you can't pull a trade off, which, you know, sometimes that's not totally up to the team. Like, you know, if you can't find a match or if the asking price winds up getting high, you could just bring Didi back. And, you know, in my opinion, the lineup gets a little bit weaker because Lindor's a better player. But you still have that the depth, you still have the balance that I'm looking for. So yeah. Anyway.
And I just love Didi.
Who doesn't? He's the man.
Yeah. Not too much else going on. I mean, you mentioned Sanchez would be batting in the nine hole. Cashman did reaffirm that Sanchez is going to go into the year as the number one starting catcher, which was kind of expected after they tendered him a contract. I think it's the right move. The only other move that would make you say, okay, maybe it's not terrible to move on from Sanchez, is if the Yankees inexplicably made the splash and got JT Realmuto, which tendering Sanchez a contract all but guarantees they're not going to be in that sweepstakes. I doubt they were going to be anyway. But yeah, so like I know there's a ton of doubt surrounding Sanchez after the season he just had, but I just see so many people on social media saying, you know, this guy hasn't been good since 2017. People were really forgetting that he was an all-star and hit 35 home runs in 2019. And so he's not nearly as far removed from his full potential than people realize. And I think it was CeCe I can't remember who it was. Someone said, like, you know, Sanchez just kind of needed last season to end. He needed to, like, reset and, you know, work on some things, not in a game setting. And it seems like he's been doing a ton of work ever since the season ended, which is not something I feel like anyone's been able to knock since, like, his minor league days. It seems like he's always working, and hopefully it pays off.
I feel like a lot of people knock it, even though they shouldn't. But I mean, that's just how people are, unfortunately, with Sanchez.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some people have that physique. Leave him alone. He obviously, like, he's working in winter ball. It reports that he basically took a week off and then immediately went down to the complex and started working on hitting. So, mm-hmm. Deal with it. Yeah.
I would love to see him back in his 2019 form. Nothing would make me happier.
That'd be great.
Except maybe adding a freaking pitcher.
That'd be even better. So we'll see. I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't think they will.
I highly doubt it. I think the tea leaves are reading that it's going to be LeMahieu and that's it. And then the Yankees will be like, all right, we re-signed the guy. You guys are all clamoring for us to re-sign. Now we don't have money. We lost this much money because of the pandemic and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And a ton of people will be like, oh, you're right. Thank you so much, owners.
Mm-hmm. Stupid.
Well, since there's probably no baseball news to look forward to, I mean, this was such a dull winter meetings.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, aside from that, what are you looking forward to this coming week? You know, if the real winter meetings was Disney dropping all these bombs last night with all the Star Wars and Marvel shows.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching The Mandalorian today, hopefully not too late in the day, but I'm looking forward to catching up on that. And also looking forward to Dolphins Chiefs. It's a big football game for the Dolphins, first one in a long time. So yeah, it's a pretty good weekend. You got Mando, you got Dolphins Chiefs. Notre Dame's off this week, right? So
yeah, Clemson next week.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
Oh yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, I guess that's about it. What about you?
I have no idea. What is there to look forward to these days? This is depressing, but I'm looking forward to watching the Knicks again. They've got their first preseason game tonight. Looking forward to hearing Mike Breen and Clyde on the call again. Feels like forever since I've watched the Knicks game because they were not one of the teams to go to the bubble for obvious reasons because they were terrible. But, yeah.
You didn't think they deserved it?
No. See, at that time, I was like, good. I don't even want to watch them anymore. But now that I'm here, however many months later, now I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, yeah, just hoping for some nice weather so I can get outside as much as possible before winter really hits and quarantine plus seasonal depression collide. So I'm going to hopefully get out and play some disc golf. I've been trying to get into disc golf, get any outdoor activities going possible, so I'm not always in the house.
That's a good one. Let me ask you a question, a political question. Probably loaded. Just hear me out on this. Obviously, the vaccine is on its way. There was an approval yesterday. We have to give the vaccine to people who are at high risk, with the elderly, frontline workers, everything like that.
Yeah, I would hope that people like us are at the back of the line because there's people that need it a lot more.
I do too, but let me ask you a question. Do you think that athletes, you know, baseball, hockey, football, should be receiving the vaccine before us? The only reason I would say maybe is because think about what it feels like right now during the week. There's nothing going on. I think I'm getting definitely very bored. If I have to wait for a vaccine, I'd at least like something like baseball going on where I feel okay. I'm sitting at home. There's things are going on. I'm able to watch it. I'm able to enjoy it. I don't feel like my skin's crawling. Like I want to go out, you know, I need some sort of entertainment. It's there. You know what I mean? Like, how do you feel about that? Do you think that sports serve a welcome distraction that would help people stay inside while they wait for the vaccine? I'm just genuinely curious about that. I don't think it's such a ridiculous thing because people apparently have a hard time staying inside and quarantining. But if they have sports on every day, maybe that helps.
Yeah, I think I could see that. I mean, I pretty much stay inside at night no matter what, just because A, everything is rightfully closed, and B, I'm trying to take this seriously and do my part. If I'm getting out of the house, it's during the day and being outdoors. So I'd probably be inside anyway, but I would be a lot more entertained if there was baseball and other sports on. I think I would say athletes should get the vaccine before people like you and me, just because they're also traveling all over the country. And in some cases, you know, Canada as well. So, you know, I'm assuming, 30-year-old healthy people like you and me should be in pretty much the back of the line. So if we are, even if it's between us and, you know, physically tuned professional athletes around the same age, if they're traveling all over the country, then yeah, I'd say they could get it first. It seems like the NHL is already pursuing privately buying the vaccine once it's available for private purchase. So I guess with all the travel they'd be doing, I would say that makes sense.
Yeah. Just curious, just pondering the ifs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hope with the vaccine getting approved yesterday, hopefully we're on track for having fans back by, you know, April. I don't think it sounds too outlandish now if this vaccine trend continues, I hope.
Well, I mean, they're saying like most people aren't going to get the vaccine till over the summer. So,
then that hurts. Well, I'm hoping for a safe and full Yankee Stadium by the playoff run. I think that would be great.
I think I saw Fauci say like he thinks like September we could go back to events. So that'd be cool. I mean, September would be perfect.
Yeah, it's great. It'd
be cooler if the Yankees put together a contender so they could guarantee that they're playing meaningful games in September.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they'll be playing them either way because, you know, the Red Sox aren't going to be there yet. I still am confident the Yankees can be ahead of teams like Toronto, obviously Baltimore. So, I mean, they're going to be contending, but
yeah.
They probably won't be bona fide favorites because they don't care about that. They just want to get in.
It's true.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to go watch The Mandalorian right now.
I'll text you after I watch it because I probably won't watch it till a little later today.
All right.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, me too. Hopefully everyone out there who enjoys it, who enjoys watching it, enjoys this penultimate episode, and we hope there's some Yankee news to talk about come next week. Hey, Yankees, this is a great weekend to re-sign DJ LeMahieu. You should probably get that done. Give us something positive to talk about. So, yeah, that's a plea from us. But in the meantime, we will talk to everybody next week.
See you next week, everybody.